It's great to see you this morning. My name's Matt, along with Ben and Andrew, one of the leaders here at Grace. And if you got here nice and early this morning, you probably avoided the rain. So there is a penalty for getting here late, which is that you get soaked. And so hopefully you're drying off a little bit now. I certainly hope so. I'm really looking forward to the time that we're going to be spending now in God's Word and the time that we're going to spend together worshiping and responding to Him later on. We're in, as a church, in some final weeks of preparation, as most of you know, and if you're a guest here this morning, you're most welcome, and you probably don't know, but we're in some final weeks of preparation as we look towards the sending and the establishing of a new church community in Falmouth. The 21st of May marks a really significant date for us as at Grace Church. We've been living with this idea, this baby that's been living amongst us for some time, and the 21st of May marks the date when actually we're going to be sending out a team to establish a new church community in Falmouth. And so at the moment we're in a sort of a mini series to try to help us get going and get ready for that. These are days of preparation, and this morning I want to talk to you about faith, not fear. This is a we moment as a church. This is something we are doing together. It's not that the Falmouth team are over there doing their thing and Truro are doing our thing over here. Actually, this is something we are doing together. This is something that has been long in our hearts, long in our minds, long in our prayers that we would see this day come about. And actually, I want to say to you, church, that we're going to be doing this again. It's not just Falmouth. We believe, we expect, our hope, our prayer, our what we believe God has said to us, the kind of church that we're going to be, is that we're going to be doing this again and again. So as we prepare ourselves now, actually, we're not just sowing into the now moment. We're actually sowing into moments that we're going to see happening across the years to come. And I hope you're living with that kind of hope and expectation as well. It's a time for courage. It's a time for us to lift our eyes to God's purposes. And it's a time for us to get ready. Just like the Israelites, just before they crossed into the promised land, Joshua went round to his leaders and he said, go and tell the people to prepare their provisions. Get ready for the off. We're going over. In 3 days, we're going over. Well, folks, in 3 weeks, we're going over. In 3 weeks, we go. So we're getting ready. We've taken an offering back in January. Well, February, actually, wasn't it? Outstanding offering. And I want to say to you, as much as it thrills my heart, Andrew's heart, Ben's heart, and no doubt all of our hearts to have gathered such an amazing response, it actually thrills God's heart far more when his people say yes to what he's doing. And that is what we're about. We're about thrilling the heart of God. And my prayer for us this morning is that we will thrill God's heart again with another big yes. We're going to spend some time in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to look at this passage together under three headings: the initiator of faith, the community of faith, and the walk of faith. Now, in the book of Ephesians, Paul tells us that the immeasurable power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that is now at work in each one of us. It's the power that brings to us greater wisdom, greater knowledge, a greater enlightenment of heart, so that we begin to know the reality of the hope that we have as believers. It's a staggering thought, a staggering concept, that God's power is at work in us to bring us into greater wisdom, into greater knowledge, and to greater enlightenment of heart. You know, we previously were unenlightened, but God wants to illuminate our hearts. He brings us into the wisdom of God. It's staggering. God has invested hugely in us, me. That's crazy. And he's invested in moments like these. Let's just spend a moment just praying together. Father, we want to come to you now. We want to come to you and your word and the power of your Holy Spirit at work in us and through us and amongst us. And we pray, Lord God, would you grant us faith? Would you grant us strength and would you grant us courage this morning? Father, we want to ask you to change us. We want to ask you to enlighten our hearts again this morning to the power that is at work in us the power that you've raised Christ from the dead with is now at work in us. Lord, we believe it. But Lord, we pray, would you help us to take steps to inherit that promise this morning in Jesus' name? Would you bring a godly focus to our lives as we line up with you again today under your word? Amen. Okay, Hebrews 10. We're going to take this in three sections under each heading. And if you want to follow it in your Bibles, if you're looking it up right now, if you're at 1 and 2 Timothy, you're not far enough. If you've gone to 1 and 2 Peter, you've gone too far. You need to be somewhere in the middle of those two. The verses are going to come up on the screen, though, so if you haven't got a Bible with you, you can follow it on the screen. Let's read together the first section. Hebrews 10, 19 to 23 to start with. A call to persevere in faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. God is the initiator of our faith. We have faith because of God's faithfulness to us. God's faithfulness is proven to us because Jesus has come and made a way that we couldn't make for ourselves. He's made a way for us to know God. He is the only one to have, on merit, lived a faithful to God life. No one in human history has ever lived the right kind of life. That's me, that's you, that's everybody. He was the one faithful Israelite. God called Israel to be a faithful nation, but they failed. But he succeeded. And he says to us that if we put our faith in him and our trust in him, then in that moment that we take that step, we're transformed inwardly. And what happens is that the good life that Jesus lived, the one faithful life, becomes somehow given to us in our unfaithfulness. That Jesus' standing, his right standing, his good standing with God, suddenly becomes ours. A great exchange occurs. Grimy life is exchanged for Jesus' perfect life, the great swap. Our sin is forgiven. We're cleansed inside and out, our hearts sprinkled clean, our conscience is cleansed, our bodies are washed. It's just these Old Testament, Old Covenant images of means of preparation to be able to come to God and wash ourselves and be sprinkled the blood of the animals that were sacrificed, so that we could present ourselves acceptably to God. Actually, what Jesus has done for us is precisely that. The same metaphor, the same imagery is now applied in Christ. In Christ, we have come to be made presentable before God, and because of that, we can come to know him. The work has been done for us, and we receive it by faith. And as we heard last week, Israel and now the church are called to represent God to the world around us, a kingdom of priests. But at the head of it all is Jesus, the great high priest, the head from whom everything else flows, representing us before God, even as we seek to represent God to the world. Our foundation is Jesus. Our perfect representation before the Father. And the writer of Hebrews encourages us to hold unswervingly to that hope. Hold unswervingly to that fact. Now, I realize that I'm rehearsing some of the things we already know and believe. But that's what's written here. But actually, the writer of Hebrews doesn't stop there. Because there's another dynamic at work. There's an implication to all of this, which he brings us to. Jesus has come to give us a right relationship with our Father, but not so that we become a sort of a nebulous believer, but rather that we clearly join with a community. So we'll move on to the second section of the passage. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We are to be a community of faith. God has initiated our faith. We are to be a community of faith. Church matters. Church matters. Now, Andrew spoke on this last week, and if you missed it, then please can I urge you, listen to the audio. To hear one of my best friends speak with such vivid clarity and passion about Jesus and his bride was deeply moving. And so I want to urge you to if you missed last week, go and listen to it back again. And even if you were there, go and listen to it again anyway. But the church is Jesus's priority, the bride of Christ, the joy set before him for which he endured the cross. The church is the only thing going into eternity. The church is God's launch pad for world redemption. Now, we may only be small, 100 or so in Truro, 20 or so going to Falmouth, but humble beginnings have never been a problem for Jesus. So his call to invest here, to invest in what God is doing, is to line up with the greatest love project there has ever been. Sowing your life, my life, into what Jesus died for. We have a great joy set before us. And if you thought of it in these terms, we have a great joy before us as we think about all those who are going to come to faith in Truro and in Falmouth in the days ahead as a result of what we're doing now. God is going to get to work. There are rebirths waiting to happen. There are people out there who don't know God, don't know the wonder and the majesty and the beauty of what Jesus has done for each one of us. Then God wants to reveal himself. And by going, we're going to see people come through, and suddenly God's going to switch the lights back on in individual lives. And the writer of Hebrews here says, encourage one another, spur one another on. Keep meeting and investing in each other. It matters. It's important. And as I read those words, I just think that is such a great atmosphere to be in part of. Encouraged, spurred on. I like the sound of that. That's a place I want to be. And he says there, all the more as you see the day approaching. And when he wrote that, the day was further off than it is now. It's further off than it was last week, further off than it was yesterday, further than it was when I started talking to you. The day is approaching and it's getting closer with every passing second. Let's encourage one another to how we can keep meeting together, keep encouraging one another, keep pushing on in the Lord together. And so we come to the last and longest section. Let's read. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who was treated as an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember those earlier days after you'd received the light, when you endured in great conflict, full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And the writer goes on in the next chapter to talk about the great exploits of faith that the people of God accomplished throughout their lives. Some of them accomplishing amazing things, some of them just enduring, being sawn in two for their faith. And so we come to this subject of the walk of faith. I want to ask before I get into this, because I realize the first couple of points have been rehearsing steps and ground you already know. But so is this in a way, but I feel this is where God wants us to be this morning. What's your personal response going to be? Are the circumstances of life shaping your faith? Shaping your life? Are you settling in? Are you plodding along? Have you given up? Do you think you're coming to the end of your race? Now, at this point, I need to make a confession, because the truth is that over the past months, for a variety of reasons, I've found that the spring in my step has just been eluding me. It's been just there, but not been able to grab it. My joy in the Lord has been lacking. I've still been convinced. I've still been persuaded in the faith. I've still been believing. But in the seat of my emotions, internally, I've just felt so weary. And by the grace of God, He's brought that to my attention in the last week, 10 days. And by the grace of God, I trust that as I say this, if that's where you are today, I trust that He's also bringing it to your attention. Sometimes that just, it happens. You just kind of, you get ground down and you get weary, and faith just feels like a chore and a task. And you're doing things out of duty, not out of joy. And I've got to say to you, there have been moments where I've just lived with that. I felt that, oh, can I go again? I know I need to, God, but It's been difficult. We live in a tension. Do you remember this slide from our Timothy series? We live in a tension between the brokenness of the world and God's transforming power at work in one of us. And the aim for each one of us is to live our lives focused on God's transforming work. Not the brokenness of the world, that never changes. That won't change until one day, the day that is approaching. And here we are in the middle, trying to keep our eyes on Jesus. And for me, physical weariness goes in tandem with emotional and spiritual weariness. And I need to keep a check on that. I need to keep a check on my life on that. Not going to bed too late, not overstretching myself, keeping myself physically in good, reasonable shape anyway. I joked with Samuel earlier in the week. He asked me if I'd ever run a marathon. Well, he actually said, have you ever done a marathon, Dad? I said, yeah, I've done probably about 50 or 60 marathons in my life. Some of them I've done back to back, but then they renamed them Snickers. And haven't been near one since, but so yeah, I need to keep myself in some kind of shape, probably not marathon shape, as you can tell. But in this passage, in this section, we find three motivations for faith, and by the grace of God, He's been, as I've been preparing this message, it's just been switching me back on again, and I pray it will do the same for you now. First of all, the gospel, what we've already looked at. What God has done for us moves us to response. In the light of all that we've been given in God, in the light of what God has initiated in our lives, we respond to Him, we come to Him, we say, God, I will do for you what you want me to do. I will endure, I will run, I will go for you because of all that you've done for me, all that you've endured for me. Secondly, our choices matter. There's no getting around the fact that the Bible speaks about judgment for sin. And in the passage we've just read, it's pretty stark. The Message translation renders it like this: if the penalty for breaking the law of Moses is physical death, What do you think will happen if you turn on God's Son, spit on the sacrifice that made you whole, and insult this most gracious Spirit? This is no light matter. And he goes on in that translation, say, God does actually see what goes on. He says it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of God in his judgment. But equally, perhaps it's a more dreadful thing to fall out of God's hands altogether. Those moments when we read that in the passage, it serves to shake us back into what really matters, shakes us back into what is really of first importance in our lives. And our final motivation for faith is the promise of future reward, our great reward. Remember what it was like when you first came to Jesus. This is kind of what the writer of Hebrews is saying to these guys. Remember what it was like. You gave yourself fully to everything. The writer reminds that. Was it like that for you when you first came to faith? Was it like that for you when you first kind of like went, oh yeah, Jesus. It's like, right, my whole life is now about this. But it's easy to become jaded. It's easy to lose hope. It's easy to grow weary in doing good. That's why there's warnings about those kinds of things in the Bible. Because God knows our humanity, and so he forewarns us and says, look, you will grow weary, but you need to keep coming back to the fountain of life. You need to keep coming back to me, where you'll receive grace and faith and favor for your time of need. Eugene Peterson wrote a book called The Long Obedience in the Same Direction. That's the Christian life. It's a long obedience in the same direction, step by step by step, going on with God. But faith means that we can pour ourselves out knowing that ultimately God will reward. As the writer here says, there are better and lasting possessions waiting for us. But we need to remember that God's reward is not based on success. This is really important. Now listen, it's really important. God's reward is not based on success. Whether you succeed or fail, it is based on faithfulness. Will you keep going? Will you stick at it? Will you endure? Will you believe, even when everything around you suggests you shouldn't? Because Jesus will one day welcome us in by saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Not good and successful servant. You've done well enough, now you've earned this. It's based on faithfulness. And there's something, you know, it'd be easier if you could get an A+ and then get your reward, wouldn't it? But it's based in faithfulness. And there's something sort of intangible about that. But I love that because actually it's not about, have I done well this week? God, I don't want to get into that kind of Christianity. Our standing before God is based on his grace towards us. Not on whether we've succeeded, but we are called to be faithful. We just keep sticking at it and plugging away. And the believers that this writer is writing to have endured massive opposition. And they've endured it with a lightness of spirit. Because of their internal perspective. They had an internal perspective that was theirs, that is ours in Christ. He's saying, don't forget where this is all headed. And this morning, as we move into a season where we're following God's lead into a major change, the message to us is this: do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. So let's look to God. We're believing him for this, not ourselves. In Mark 4, Jesus tells a story of a man who sows some seed, and he scatters it on the ground, and he goes to sleep, and he gets up, and he goes to sleep, and he gets up, and he goes to sleep, and he gets up, and somehow this seed starts to grow. Somehow it starts to take root, and it starts to form leaves and stems, and the man doesn't know how. And it's a picture for us of what it's like, what God is like, what he is doing. God is at work in Truro right now. God is at work in Falmouth right now. He is doing things even while we sleep. He is doing things even while we are just going about in our daily lives. God is calling men and women. He's softening them up. He's getting them ready to receive the seed of the gospel in their lives. And so we don't need to... The faith that we have delivers us from any fear about what may happen in times like this, because we realize that actually this is God's plan. This is his church. It's his people. Faith also leads us into action because, hey, we want to get on board with what God is up to. We want to get on board with what he's doing. And our response is to participate because of all that he's done for us, because of the fact that the choices that we make in our lives matter, and because God will reward our response to him. And I want to urge you to that. And I want us to have two responses this morning. One is a very practical, one is more of an individual response. And the first one is the practical aspect of response. Because as the writer says there, don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. And we don't want to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But the truth is that as we push into Falmouth, there are some practical challenges that we need to face up to. We need to embrace and grip and get a hold of. And there's a group amongst us for whom the 21st of May and the sending of the Falmouth team is a day which has a great deal of challenge. These are men and women amongst us who love Jesus, who love his church, and week in, week out, give huge amounts to the life of this church. And I want to introduce them to you this morning, because sometimes when we're asking you to get involved with that, you know, our volunteer cards that we put up each week, here they are, come and volunteer. It feels like we're asking you to do a task, come and join a task, come and do this thing, not really join a team. And so this morning I want to invite our team leaders up here to come and just share 30 seconds each on their team and who they are. I want to introduce them to you. And then what I'd like to do is for us to just pray for them at this season, at this time. So team leaders, could you come up? Those who are here, Kat, you need to stay there because you've got a couple of videos to run. We haven't got Laura and Josh with us this morning. Guys, come over this side, otherwise we'll... Now these guys, can we just welcome them as they come? We're here now. Oh, Ben, thanks, Ben. Now these guys do an amazing job. You don't see it most of the time, but things get set up, things are happening in the rooms, things are going on during the week because of these guys. And I just want to say I'm so grateful for your service to God. I'm so grateful for your stickability. We talk about faithfulness through times of change and adversity, and we haven't got enough people on the team, how are we going to fill the rotas this term, all of that stuff. It takes some guts to keep going with all of that. So can we run the two videos first? I would just ask the team leaders just to share very briefly who they are, what their team is, and what their need is right now. And we've got Josh and Laura on video.
Hi, everybody. My name is Laura, and I lead the Grace Kids team at church. We love our children, and we want to serve them well. And to do that, we need some volunteers to join our team. We need three people to join the Explore 3 to 5s. It's a great group. And we need six people to help us with our 6 to 11-year-olds. Please, would you prayerfully consider whether you could join in and make a difference in the life of a child and the life of a family here in Grace Church? Thanks.
Hi, my name's Josh, and I lead the setup team here at Grace Church. We're a team of people who commit ourselves to ensuring that everything is in place to make sure our Sunday morning meetings run smoothly. We currently have six people on our team, which puts pressure on those within the teams to be available more often than they're able to be. So what we're asking is for people to commit one Sunday a month to serving alongside us. Please consider if this could be you.
Right, Kat.
Hi.
Is it on? Sorry.
Hi, I'm Kat. Is that working?
Can you hear? Oh, I think it's me that's gone up.
Hi, yep, I'm Kat. I head up the visuals team, which is the projector and everything like that. And we're looking for about two or three people to come on the team. You get in about 10 on a Monday morning, probably help out about once a month. I'll give you training for like a week, and then after that, I'll sit with you while you have your first few goes. It's a really great job. It's nothing too difficult, so if you can use a computer, then you should be fine. Yeah, cool.
Wonderful.
I'm Claire, and this is JP, and together we are leading Engage, which is the 11 to 14s, and we have a great group. They're a lot of fun, and we currently are down to 4 people on the team. So we would ideally love for 4 people to be able to commit to coming and joining us, helping with Bible studies, games, the occasional trip out to McDonald's. We'd love for you to join the team, especially if you've got a real heart for seeing young people grow in their walk with God.
Hi, my name is Andy. I lead the sound team, and we currently need 4 people to join the sound team. If you can stick sticky tape to the floor, then you're qualified, because that's where we start. Full training will be given, and it's a commitment to be involved once a month, and we're here at 8:30 on a Sunday. It's a long Sunday morning, I have to confess. It can be about 5 hours from start to finish, but it's great to get involved.
My name's Talon. You can probably guess I lead the worship team. Really, what we're just looking for, if you have a particular skill in any musical instruments, apart from tambourine, please come and find me. We're particularly looking for anyone who can play the drums, who's not Matt Larkham. We're fairly flexible. That'd be great.
Hello, I'm Saskia, and I head up the Explore team, which is the 3s to 5s. Like Laura said, we need at least 3 more people to come and join the most wonderful team ever. I'm a bit biased, but they're such cute little kids, and it's so exciting watching them grow and develop their little personalities through cutting, sticking, getting chocolate all over their faces. It's just a great way to get them to know God more. So, yeah, 3 people, please. Mm.
Hi, I'm Jo, and with Matt, we lead the Welcome Team. Welcome Team is probably one of those things that as a regular attender, comer to Grace Church, you might not even notice it, but I think it's one of the most important things that we offer. And it certainly rings true whether you can remember the first time you came or from feedback we've had from people who have visited. If church is family and community, the way that we welcome people is the first thing that they see of Grace Church, and it is so, so important. The dream for the Welcome Team would be to have 4 people on per week, and we were running at 3, but now we're actually running at 2 people a week in order to be able to have a kind of cohesive rota that's not overloading anyone. So I would really love a minimum of 6 more people, but a dream would be 10. The more people, the less regularly you would be rotated on. You don't need to be here till 10, which is like a massive lie-in compared to a lot of the other teams. So it's low labour intensive. So if you love to welcome people, and if you can just remember what it was like the first time that you went to church, or to be fair, anywhere, the first time walking into somewhere where you don't know people, it's so important. And I think it's such a privilege when you see someone welcomed, when you're like part of somebody's like welcome journey, when you see them welcomed well and see them getting stuck into friendships and the life of the church. It's just, for me anyway, it feels like a real buzz to feel like I was part of that. Like, they're thriving in their relationship with God and their relationship with people, and you get to be a part of that journey by chatting and being kind and friendly and things, which I think is really special.
Wonderful. I did wonder if it was going to get a bit competitive. Length of service, McDonald's. just putting it out there. It's great. I want to really honour these guys, all, and Josh and Laura as well, for how much they do for us. And I just think it'd be great to pray for them now. But of course, what we're asking is if you have some capacity, if you are not currently serving in the team, the invitation this morning is to join a team. And I'd love it if many of us could put our names. There's some sheets on the welcome table at the back there. And what I'm asking is that as you go to get refreshments at the end this morning, if you could put your name down for one of the teams, that would just be amazing. It would really bless these guys to know that they've got people who are going to join with them and say, yeah, we want to help you make it happen. You may only be able to give 6 months and say, I can commit for 6 months to this. But equally, you may say, hey, I do the 6 months, and then you find you're really loving it, and then you want to continue, and that's great. But do you know what? Anything you could offer, even if it's a short-term burst, would be really appreciated. And I know these guys would feel like, oh, yeah, the church are with us as well as you do that. But can we just stretch out your hands towards them? I'm going to pray for them all right now. And just stretch out your hands. We'll just pray for God's grace upon them. Father God, we just want to say thank you that you, Jesus, give gifts to your church. You give men and women who are willing to lead and to take responsibility for the things that we are doing together. And we just bless your name for each one of these guys here and those who aren't with us this morning, for Laura and Josh as well. Lord, we just pray at this time, would you give them a gift of faith right now to trust you, to believe you, even as they look through their rotors and think, how is this going to come together? Father, I pray that there would be just faith in their hearts that you're going to help them through. Lord, they would feel the strengthening of your spirit right now. You give them courage right now, Lord Jesus, in your name. Lord God, we pray that this season will not be full of fear, but be full of faith and joy as they welcome others into their teams. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you all so much, guys. Let's just thank them again as they sit down. You can just go there. As I said, there's sheets at the back, so please do sign up. But I mentioned a response in two parts, and we're going to be bringing ourselves to God now and laying our hearts before him again. And I mentioned earlier in the talk that some of you may be here this morning and you're just feeling the same weariness I've been feeling. And you're plodding along and you're weary. Maybe this is just a coldness that's come over you. But the grace of God is that his mercy is new every morning. He is here with us now by his Spirit. That's Jesus' promise to us. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So we believe here this morning God is already at work. And if that's you this morning, if you feel like, yeah, God, I recognize that I've just got that sort of deep-seated weariness. As we come to worship, I want to invite you to present yourself to God again. Not on the basis of your own merits. That's never going to be enough. That's never going to work. But on the basis of who he is, allow him to come and minister to you. We have a great high priest who is the means by which we can come to God. Receive his refreshment again. Receive his goodness again. And through whom we are completely and utterly acceptable to our Father. And to receive great grace again today. There's going to be an opportunity at the end of the meeting. If you really feel like you want to respond to that today, then we'd love to pray for you. But for this moment now, we're just going to bring ourselves to God and surrender our lives to him again. So we stand together, and the band are going to lead us, and they're going to lead us through to 12 o'clock or thereabouts. And we'll see what God does amongst us, what he wants to say to us. Let's be open to hearing God's voice this morning together and encouraging one another, building one another up as we do that. Father God, I thank you so much that you sent Jesus to deliver us, to welcome us, to be the sacrifice, to live the life that we could not live, in order that by believing in him, we could come before you now in moments like this. We could know that you are our Father in heaven who loves us. And by our spirits now, we cry out to you, Abba, Father, Daddy, God. We come before you. We thank you that we are wholly acceptable before you. We thank you that we are presentable. And Lord, we pray in these moments as we worship you, you would lift off our heavy loads. You would lift off the weariness. We would be able to cast all our burdens upon you, because you care for us. You love us. And no matter what circumstances of life we're going through, Lord God, that is true. No matter what we're carrying here this morning, it is true that God loves me. Why? Because your word tells me. The Bible is enough for me, Lord, to know that you love me. To know that Jesus has died for me is enough for me to know that you love me. And Lord, we just come to you now to respond to you, to give ourselves wholeheartedly to you. I pray for my dear brothers and sisters across this room that we would grasp again the beauty of your grace towards us. Lord God, would you come and meet with us now by the power of your Holy Spirit? Fill us again. Thank you for your invitation for us to come. And we pray that as we leave this place today, Lord, we would all know the spring in our step once again. That it wouldn't elude us anymore. That it wouldn't hang over us. But God, we would leave here knowing, oh, I am loved of God. And that is the foundation of my life. Lord, we bring ourselves to you now in these moments. Amen.